This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. Over the next few days, crowds are expected to gather at train stations, some in pretty remote areas. They're part of an organized effort to call attention to proposed deep cuts in the federal budget for passenger rail.
President Trump's budget seeks to slash funding for Amtrak, which the rail service says would cause the end to many routes, including the Empire Builder, which runs from Chicago through Milwaukee on its way northwest.
The Towns Without Trains effort is being organized by the National Association of Rail Passengers. President and CEO Jim Matthews is on the line with us this morning. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely.
So, basically speaking, what is your big concern that's spurring these rallies in cities across the country over the next few days?
Well, the White House budget, if it were to pass as proposed, would eliminate all long-distance routes from Amtrak's network. And this would be, of course, devastating to the 225 communities that would lose service. But on top of that, it's kind of a backdoor way of killing Amtrak generally, because the remaining services, the Northeast Corridor and the state-supported trains, like the Hiawatha that runs with Milwaukee, they would be very much under threat because they wouldn't be able to survive a financial environment that would be created by the end of the long-distance service.
So talk about the relationship between those two parts of what Amtrak does, because, you know, I think probably the concept that a lot of people have is that, you know, it is the commuter routes like the Hiawatha and the ones in the Northeast Corridor that have so many of the passengers. How do those routes relate to the longer distance routes like the Empire Builder or the Southwest Chief?
Well, the thing to remember about a rail network is that the thing that makes a rail network efficient is the fact that it's a network. That you have all these points that connect to one another, and you have all of these trips that are possible using the same equipment and the same crew. And that is what you lose when you eliminate the entire long-distance network. Now you have chunks of service that are isolated from other services, and so you can't make those multiple types of trips, and a lot of those trip possibilities go away. There's also the revenue question. I mean, Amtrak will tell you that if you eliminate the long-distance services, you're not going to save money. It's actually going to cost an extra $423 million this year alone to cancel the service because you have to pay severance, you have to do other things, and so it would actually force Amtrak to go back to Congress and ask for even more money for less service. So there's really no cost savings to be gained by eliminating the efficiency of having an actual network. The analogy I like to use for folks is that instead of thinking of trains as kind of airplanes on rails, instead you should think of a train as almost like an elevator in an office building. And so what they're proposing to do here is to make the elevator stop going to the top floor and only serve the fourth through the sixth floor. Well, what's the point of that? How does that help the elevator do any better? It doesn't.
I think there's probably a widespread belief out there that some of these routes, these longer routes, are primarily used by tourists. How do you measure the overall economic impact on the community at large besides what, you know, some communities might get from having, you know, tourist passengers go from one place to another?
Well, about 30% of long-distance passengers are tourists. And there's nothing wrong with that, by the way. Those tourists bring dollars with them. They go to small businesses in hundreds of towns across America, and they spend their tourist dollars in those communities. So the idea that tourism is somehow less valuable as an economic benefit really doesn't hold up scrutiny. But let's look at the other 70% that are not tourists. The fact is that there are a lot of communities whose whole existence is made possible by the fact that there is Amtrak service. Very small towns in Montana and North Dakota and places like that that really do depend on having that long-distance service in place. Generally, this is just a rule of thumb kind of number that for every dollar of federal money that you put in passenger rail, the communities get about a $3 return in additional economic activity around the station. In some communities, it's much, much, much higher. You can look at a place like Meridian, Mississippi, for example, where they put about, I guess it was $6 million into the train station in Meridian, and to turn it into the very first intermodal, multimodal station in the South. And since that time, it's returned 170 times the original investment in private capital around the 3 or 4 block radius around the station. So you have all these places that have grown up around these investments that would not have been there without them. You can look all across the country and find examples of economic growth that takes place around these transportation hubs precisely because they're transportation hubs, and that would go away.
Well, so help us understand. I mean, so if these people, if the other 70% of the riders on these long distance routes are not riding as tourists, how are they using it? What are they doing when they're riding the train to Meridian, Mississippi, or to La Crosse, Wisconsin, say?
You know, it's interesting. We asked folks to share their stories with us when the budget proposal came out, and we asked exactly that question. What do you use the trains for, and what would your life be like if the trains went away? And we got well over 100 emails a day into that box since we opened it. And the stories run the gamut. A lot of them are older folks who don't have any other way to travel. They can't drive, they can't see well enough to drive, or they're not well enough to drive. There are a lot of folks that use the trains as a way to get from their small town into a large town for medical treatment, you know, to reach a hospital that has more sophisticated treatment available than they can get in their little town. You have parents taking their kids to see their grandparents. You have college students going back and forth from the city to their town where they came from. It's a whole range of purposes other than tourism, but a lot of it is the kind of thing that any other person would drive or take a bus or make any other trip for. They're commuting, they're going to school, they're visiting their family, they're going to work, particularly during the natural gas boom in the northern part of the country. The Empire Builder really became almost a commuter train for the oil workers going back and forth to North Dakota to the Bakken Shale. This was what they did, was they just rode the train because it was really the only reliable way to get in and out. So, you know, there are lots of purposes other than just the sort of the land cruise, which I think is kind of an unfair characterization that's been loaded onto these trains. Is it a beautiful ride? Of course it is. Do people do it? Sure they do. But the vast majority of folks on these long-distance routes are not running from end to end. Most of them are just going from place to place on the route, and they're going for very prosaic reasons, like going to the doctor or going to see their family.
A lot of the places served by the routes in jeopardy are the rural places that largely voted for Donald Trump and other Republicans last fall. What are you hearing, if anything, from the people who represent those places in Congress?
You know, we're fortunate that over the past, I would say, 3 to 5 years, we've been able to develop a pretty strong bipartisan coalition that supports rail. The idea of having a national rail network really was solidified in the surface transportation bill that passed in 2015. And that included a robust funding profile for Amtrak, and it also included robust transportation investments across all modes in the surface part of our system. And that was supported by 86% of the Congress. So it was, if you look around today and look for anything that 86% of the Congress can support, it's pretty rare. And so we've heard from Republicans and from Democrats alike that this service is important, and they understand that it's important to the communities that they serve. And so far, we're cautiously optimistic that the Congress is going to continue to support rail in the way that they have for the past few years, and certainly that they're going to back up the vote they took in 2015 to support rail. You know, 86% of the Congress thought it was a great idea then, and so far, we think they still think it's a great idea.
Well, Jim Matthews, thanks so much, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Jim Matthews is president and CEO of the National Association of Rail Passengers. You can find out more about Towns Without Trains rallies at WUWM.com.
You can hear more interviews like this one by visiting the Lake Effect page at WUWM.com.